Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Sorry, I'm backing off. Okay. So this afternoon, we're going to begin the session talking tech. How to stop robocalls, protect your tech during a disaster, and pick only the roses that are red. That's kind of what we are going to start with.
I'm
going to
stay with her for the first draft.
Are we having a presentation or what?
But we can talk about other things, too. So, but we have 45 minutes. Our presenters are me, Frank Cuta, Deb Lewis, Technical Assistance Coordinator, the Washington Assistive Technology ACT program, and Peggy Martinez, Founder and President, Creative Inclusions, LLC. So we're going to start out with with who?
Who are we starting with? Okay, we're starting with me. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's delightful that we're all here together. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is a technology called AIRA, A-I-R-A. So who has heard of AIRA?
Oh, hey. I want to interrupt because I screwed that up.
Oh, crying out loud.
I have problems. I can't remember people's names, okay?
Okay.
And
she is Peggy.
I couldn't remember Debbie's name. We want Debbie to start because she's going to cover these other two things. Then all three of us will talk about AIRA, okay? So, Debbie, can you start?
Really? I guess I can. Yeah.
Never mind.
I had to look up your name, Debbie. That's how bad it is.
Good grief, yeah. I know how that goes.
I can't do it.
It's a long week, isn't it, gang? Okay, so let's see. I'm going to talk about a couple of quick items that I thought would be interesting to share with you all that have kind of come through my life lately and given me pause for thought. And also, I want to mention, before we get going too far, our technology forum that we do on the second Tuesday of every month by telephone at 7 p.m. And if you're on the WCB email list, then I usually try to remember to announce it the day of or the day before or sometime. But if I don't remember or you don't see the announcement, it's always on the second Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m., and we send out the phone number and the code. And if you're not getting the WCB list, it'd be good if you did, but even if you don't want to do that, if you'll check in with me sometime over the weekend and get the information for calling in, I'm more than glad to give it. And we do all kinds of things on the technology forum. It's pretty free-for-all. And I enjoy hearing from everybody and what they're doing and what kinds of things we're coming into. And I do facilitate it, but I don't claim to be any kind of, you know, expert or have all the answers. In fact, I learn quite a bit. So I absolutely encourage that if you would like to join us, we'd love to have you. And if you're not already there, and if you are, you better just keep coming because it's required. And then the other part of that is that if there are things you'd like to have us talk about, if there are puzzlements about how things work, or if you wonder if things work together or not, or I think every two or three months or so we answer the why should I get a smartphone question, and that's a good question. So you know, we try to cover the material that our callers want to cover, and there's no, you know, plan other than that. But I just want to encourage you for that. So usually what happens in those calls is we take a couple of topics that have kind of run by me during the month if there aren't enough individual requests for topics. And so that's how we came to the two that I'm going to give you today. And usually what I do is give a little bit of background and information about them, and then I let people talk about their experience and questions. And I'll be happy, because there's not a lot of time on particularly this first one, to follow up with any of you individually who need a little bit of coaching. So our first item that we're going to talk about is Are we all tired of hearing from Rachel at Credit Card Services who calls and tells you every couple of weeks that you're about to expire or something? Right.
Ooh, Rachel.
Yeah. And actually, she's just moved to being a new person. She's now Tracy. And so they must have eaten Rachel or something. So what those are called are robocalls. And I got very, very personally interested in reducing the number of robocalls at our house because it actually came to the point, we have a landline phone and we have some cell phones, and it actually came to the point that we couldn't answer our landline phone anymore because we were actually getting probably 20 or 30 robocalls per day. And some of them were from strange-looking foreign numbers. We do have friends in other countries with strange-looking foreign numbers, but I don't think they were calling. And most of them don't work for the IRS. And why would the IRS call with a strange-looking foreign number anyway? One of my technical questions I wanted to know. But the other part of it is that they often were calling with numbers that looked familiar, like numbers that would have our area code and our prefix. Like they live near you or something, you know. Yeah. And so you kind of get duped into it. Well, that looks a lot like my dentist's phone number. I better answer the phone. And hi, this is, oh, no, not you again. So I did a lot of research, and I discovered a couple of things that would be useful to people. First of all, there is an app, and it is highly rated and actually very much supported by the Federal Communications Commission and every kind of rating for apps to be legitimate. And this app is a kind of a must-have app, and it has a service with it. And that's what I'm going to talk about, the different ways that service is emulated. So the app is called NoMoRobo, and it's just like it sounds. It's NoMoRobo.com. And when you go to their website, you can learn basically how to set this up. But basically, initially they were only setting it up for smartphones. In fact, originally they were only setting it up for iPhones because iPhones actually have some capabilities in this area that Android phones are just now getting. But iPhones have had it for a little while. And so basically, and that is the ability to detect whether the call is actually even coming from a phone number and can discern this. So this app takes advantage of this particular feature. And when you sign up with them, they can monitor your phone. And they will send away most of the robocalls. And you can report the ones they don't. And you can also report when they send away something that's not one, because sometimes the robocallers are actually using legitimate phone numbers and just faking them. And so that's another thing that happens. Well, that service does cost a very few dollars per month. It's very inexpensive, and it's well worth it to get that stuff off your phone. But then I started thinking, my iPhone was not where the problem really was, although it does happen there, but that's not the real problem. It's the landline phone. I got to get them off the landline phone. Now, our particular landline phone comes from Comcast, and other people will have, of course, different providers. But basically, I began to research, and I discovered that most of the landline providers also subscribe in some form to NoMoRobo. And so the trick is to figure out how to set it up for your particular provider. So basically with Comcast, and they're all somewhat similar, and they offer more or less service, and the piece that I can help some of you with if you need it is to figure out what your provider does, because it was going to be too much work for me to go through and figure out every provider in the state and then all of you not use them. It's like, well, you have to sign up for them. I worked this out for you. So basically with Comcast, though, what you do, it's pretty simple, although it wasn't too easy to figure out because Comcast had about five sets of conflicting instructions. And so I finally had to just sort of map it all out. Well, if you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, no, you don't do it that way. You got to go this way. And so we finally got it worked out. But we can work it out with others. I've worked it out with Comcast, and I've worked it out with T-Mobile, and we've worked it out with a couple of others. So with Comcast, basically, you have to download the Comcast Connect app. And by the way, if you are on Comcast, that brings you a whole bunch of very interesting features I'll bet you didn't know your phone had. Like you can actually use your landline to text, which is a dang cool idea. I didn't know, but we actually had a bunch of texts already. Somebody had known that and I didn't know it, and they were probably getting frustrated that I never answered their texts. But you can check your email in this app. You can answer the phone in this app. It's very, very cool. I was hoping I would get a robocall while we're doing this presentation, because then you could see what this app will do, because essentially what the app is going to do, and I had to do some things to sign it up. We had to set up something called advanced call forwarding, and we had to set up a couple of other things. And basically, once we had this set up and working, when a call comes to our phone, on the first ring of the call, Nomo Robo, through the Comcast Connect app, goes out and looks at that call. So we have to not answer the call on the first ring. We need to wait for the second ring. So on the first ring, it's going to go out and look at it. If it's already as identified as spam, it's going to send it away. It's just gone. No more ringing. Now, I will get to see on the caller ID what called, and what I have found fascinating is that they're usually like 30-digit phone numbers with a normal-looking 10 digits at the back end. Mm-hmm. That's the part I had been seeing on our caller ID for so long. Oh. So they do that. Then, if you get a call that it thinks is real, then it lets that call go through and it rings. And it also rings on your iDevice if you want it to do that. And you get to see the complete caller ID, usually more information than is shown on the other caller ID. So you get to see all that. It's very cool. And if you then get a number that comes through that turns out to be a robocall and they've missed it, you go into a very, very simple place on their website that you can do with any device. It's text-based. It's very, very accessible and very simple. And you answer about three or four questions, which was, what was the phone number? Did it have any caller ID? And if so, what was it? And what kind of a call was it? Was it a robocall? Was it a telemarketing? Was it a hang-up? Was it a, what was it? And because sometimes they're just testing you to see if you're there. Hmm. And so you basically fill out that little form, and they submit it, and then they verify it, and then they add it to their records. And like I said, we still get a few of those little noises on the app that say you're getting these things, but we have moved down to about one real robocall a day on our phone. And we went from about 20. Wow. So you can do this. They're all using this same service behind, but they have different ways of implementing it. So I wanted to make you aware of it and to research with your provider or ask for help if you need it to get this set up for you if it's relevant and appropriate and if you're getting enough of these things. Maybe somebody likes to get them. I don't know. So that's our little consumer tidbit for the day. The other item that
What about the cost?
Yes. Huh? Oh, it the cost through your, if your provider is supporting it and doing it for you, I have not seen any provider charge any extra to do it. If you do it directly yourself through the Nomo Robo service, it's going to be $3 or $4 a month. It might be like $40 a year in the year package. It's not much money, for so much less phone ringing. But it's not much money. But if you get it, if you're able to get it through your provider, I have not seen any provider charge you to get it. So it should be okay that way. All right, so the other thing that I wanted to just talk about really briefly is planning for disasters and your technology. And I think we want to continue this topic in the forum call because there's so much to say about it. But I'm just going to mention to you now that, you know, as we've seen, there have been a number of very significant national disasters lately, the floods and the fires and all the things that have happened. And it's really brought to mind that we need to protect our tech. So one of the things that I want to recommend to you is to consider getting some waterproof cases for your most important technology, including your phone, whatever your phone is. And they make truly waterproof cases that you can submerge for weeks if you want to. And I tested this. I was very brave. I have a brand new phone, and I put it in the case that I purchased and sealed it up the way it does, and it's tight. And I did. They told you it was all right to, like, drop it in a bowl of water. And so I did.
Ooh.
And I took it out in a few hours, and my phone was fine, and it's been fine, and there wasn't any water on the inside of the case or anything. So these cases are cheap. Amazon has them. You want a fully waterproof case. Even if your phone says that it's rated fully waterproof, and a few are. But even if it is, you do want something like that because you don't know when you're going to be in a situation where you want to keep your phone from getting wet or your batteries. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention real briefly, the second most important thing to do for your tech is to make sure that you get some of those recharging devices. So there again, they're available in all kinds of sizes and shapes and costs on Amazon. And basically, to charge any kind of device that can be hooked via USB. And I do have one sample of one up here that people can look at later or look at the WATAP exhibit. But there are millions, and like I said, every shape and every cost. But you want these because what you don't want when there is a disaster is you don't want your most important devices to discharge. You need them for communication. And text is the communication that lasts the longest when things are going awry and there is no other way. Other than ham gear, that's probably the most long-lasting. But of the phone kinds of things that the rest of us have, text is your most faithful friend. And takes the least resource and is the least likely to go down. So you want to keep your device charged, but to do that, you've got to have an external power source. So I'm going to be recommending that as well. There are other things you can do, and we will talk about those in our next forum call, but I just wanted to get you started thinking about taking care of your technology in terms of a disaster, because we don't always think about that. We always think about getting food and water and a buddy and a plan, but you need a plan for your tech as well. So we want to start thinking about that. Any questions for me before we have our sort of IRA panel?
Can you repeat the phone?
Yes, it is nomorobo.com. So that is nomorobo.com. No, you have to buy that from Amazon, and you can search for waterproof cases, and you'll see numbers of different choices for those. There are lots of different ones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't even know. I've got a couple of them. I can't even remember which brand I got. If you can then check with me later, I can probably tell you, because I can probably look it up in my order history. I meant to bring the one that I think is really cool with me, and I thought I had it, and I didn't, but... there are actually lots of them, and they are very inexpensive. You don't need to pay more than $15 or $20 for one of these, and they will do the trick.
And Debbie, on your home phone,
yes.
It's the Nomo Robo 2 that
you every, have yes, provider. In that case, you're going to go to your provider's website, and you're going to see what your provider does, but your provider probably uses this service and may have a different way for you to sign up. But it's a question to ask your provider. What are you doing to make sure I don't have spam?
And this is the landline.
That's for the landline.
And this is the one that may not have a charge, correct?
Your landline will probably not have a charge, yes.
On your Nomo Robo,
yes.
you mentioned it has a charge or a cost usually for smartphones.
Yes.
Do you have to provide a credit card number? Is that how they do it? Is routinely
yes.
your monthly bill your credit card?
Okay. Yeah. Well, the cheapest way is to buy an annual subscription, and then they'll bill it once. But otherwise, they would bill it. They would bill it monthly. Yes. It's a subscription service. Uh huh.
Okay, well, I have some questions too, but I'd like to get on to Peggy.
Yeah.
And Peggy, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Oh, Frank,
but
I don't know if I'm over it.
I would like you to begin our discussion of Ira, if you would.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, now, back to Ira. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a panel. So Debbie and Frank are also going to chime in. And I imagine that there are people out there who might have suggestions, ideas, thoughts, and questions, of course, too, are always welcome. Okay, so again, who out there has heard of Ira? Okay, great. Who has not heard of Ira then? Let's just sort of get a sense of that too. Okay, well, Ira is spelled A-I-R-A, first off, and the website is AIRA.io. And Ira uses smart glasses and a cell phone and a Wi-Fi connection to connect us to people who they refer to them as agents, who can help do basically almost anything we can think of that we would want help with. It's a subscription-based service, and it is, you know, cost is subjective. You know, some people will think this is expensive, and I can certainly see why they would. And I'll tell you what the cost is right now. For 100 minutes per month, the cost is $89. And for unlimited, it's $329. Now, let me wait. Now, before I just thought I'd get that over with. I just thought I'd get it over with. Now, the things that people do with Ira, I think that is the thing that really can mean a lot to us. So first off, let me just describe a little bit about how you actually work it. So you know, things have to be charged and all the rest, and you can approach it in two ways. You can either use smart glasses, and for people who don't know what smart glasses are, it's basically glasses that are connected to the internet. We can think of it in terms like that. So how we would employ them is we would put them on, of course, and there's a camera on the glass. It's on the right-hand side, and I have mine with me, and also Debbie has the Ira technology at the WATAP table in the exhibits also. So you put the glasses on, and then you make your phone call, and whatever you are, you know, whatever the camera is pointing at, the agent can see. So, you know, if you want help booking travel on a really challenging, inaccessible website like kayak.com, or others that are really, really busy, that is a really great use of Ira. Ira can be used to navigate in the outdoor environment. You can use Ira, people have used it to run marathons with it. So basically what's happening is you are getting information from someone who is seeing what the camera on the glasses is pointing at. It can be a computer screen. It can be the outdoor environment. It can be an intersection. It can be a museum. You can be at a museum. You can be at a music venue. One of the things that I want to use it for, I haven't yet, is when I arrive at a music venue and I'm waiting for the band to come on, a lot of times you know, you're sitting in front of the stage and I'm wondering, like, what the music setup is. Is it two guitars? Drums, you know, what's on the stage? I want to know that. Some people might want to know any, you know, the possibilities are really endless. Last Sunday I went to an aerial adventure park. And at an aerial adventure park, the objective is to, you connect to via a line or a rope to a carabiner, and you connect to a cable. And you walk on cables and wires. You do lots of different balancing types of. It's a balancing course, and it's very interesting. And it's a wonderful thing to do. It's outside and it's beautiful. It takes a little bit of balance skill and whatnot, but The point is that it was something I really wanted to do. And I used Ira to first off, to have the agent look at the course and sort of give me a visual sense of what the course looked like. And she described the climbing net that you have to climb in order to get up to where all the different rope features are that you would walk across and crawl across and pull yourself across and all that. And so I was, you know, it really sort of put things in context for me. I used Ira the other day with Dropbox because somebody sent me some files. I could get the files, but they also sent, the files had, there were photos, and they were, they all had descriptions, and I couldn't for the life of me find the descriptions of the photos that he had written, and I needed them for a job I was working on. So, I mean, it took the agent like 5 minutes to cut and paste the text of the picture descriptions for me. So the ways that we can use Ira it are pretty darn endless, and it can really expedite. And I think for me, that's the main thing, is that it has expedited my workday, because I'm blind. I don't have an assistant with me every moment. That, you know, there's a lot of times that things are just super visual, as we all know, and we want. I have a lot of questions. So the cost factor is something that we've all been mentioning to Ira, to the folks there, and they're working on connecting with businesses and public agencies, so that the agency or the business will pay for the person's minutes when they are using their services. So, for example, they're working with the VA right now for veterans who go through the blind rehabilitation program, and after you do your blind rehab training and you want some technology, you could request Ira, and the VA would pay for, you know, part of your Ira costs. They're doing something at airports now. They call it Ira Airports. And the first airport to sign on with them is the Memphis Airport. So when you go to the Memphis Airport and you want to walk around and you know, find your gate, find food, find a restaurant, you know, find a store, a seat, the restroom, whatever you would be looking for, you could toss your put your glasses on, call in to the agent who would guide you, but that time would be being paid for by the airport itself. And they are working with the SeaTac airport.
Yay.
Yep. Because we know that we want SeaTac to be one of the most accessible airports, and SeaTac has a mission to do that right now. They're really working on that, or has a, you know, they're working on that basically for lots of reasons, but because the Special Olympics is based in Seattle in 2018. So what else can I tell you? I want to say that right now, if you are interested in trying Ira, you can text a telephone number, which I will give you, and you just put the name Peggy in it, and they'll call you, and they will sign you up, and you will get 30 days free. They'll send you the smart glasses, and you know you'll need to have a cell phone. That's part of what you would you'd bring to the party, so to speak. And they'll send you the smart glasses and the MiFi mobile hotspot device. So the number to text for the 30-day free trial is 617-515-8011, and I'll be around all day today and tomorrow if you want to talk with me at all about it. But the company itself is very dedicated to listening to us. You know, I asked the representative a jillion questions about how they were going to make it more affordable for people. So they are aware that it can be a barrier. And they're, you know, they're working on that. So, does anybody have anything to add right now from my esteemed panel?
So, yeah, let's talk about the sign-up process.
Sure.
They get some free time, but also the person that refers them gets free time, right?
Yeah, there's, yeah.
So it could be you, it could be me, it could be...
Yeah, absolutely, anyway. Yeah. It can be. Basically, yes. So let's say that any of you decided you wanted to try Ira, and then you decided you wanted to subscribe to it. They have a referral program, and you then would benefit from referring people as well. So the objective, of course, for them is that they sell lots of subscriptions, and the objective for us as users is that we benefit by getting some free time for our subscription. So, you know, it's sort of a crowdsourcing oriented marketing. What do you call it? Tool, I guess. You know, it's a way of marketing. So yeah. So if you told them that Frank sent you, then you would. Well, you know.
But Frank.
You know, Frank. You know, Frank. But yeah, if you do decide you want to text for that free 30-day trial, then do it. And they'll send you the smart glasses.
But by all means, mention someone. Because if you don't mention any, you may as well get somebody, you know, some free time.
Yeah, it's a beneficial thing. I really think it's nice. It's a very win-win oriented thing for all concerned. And then I just have to say, I was skeptical when I first heard about it. I will say, I thought, you know, it sounds pretty cool, but like, am I really going to use it? Like, I've bought lots of technology in my day that I've not used as much as others, you know. But in this case, one day I needed something and I thought, I'm going to try this out. I really need help. The agents are trained. They are incredibly articulate. They are impeccable computer users.
They have access to a lot of resources.
They really do.
That they can bring to bear on a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's have Frank and Debbie talk so that we add to
a couple of my most recent experiences are one, I was out looking at roses, and I mentioned the name of the program, you know, how to pick the only roses that are red. But actually what the person noticed was that I had some ripe strawberries down there I didn't even know that I had, and she was able to tell me which ones to pick, you know. And the other night I was down in my wine cellar, and bottles of wine are really difficult. They have all kinds of fancy script lettering on them, and many of them do not have barcodes because, you know, a lot of the wineries are small. They don't bother with barcodes, and basically you're stuck. It's just, you know, you need a sighted person to look. And I was able to go down to my wine cellar with Ira and look at a few bottles. One thing I noticed was, though, with a regular video connection, she didn't have quite enough resolution to tell me the dates, so she had to actually take a picture of each bottle. But they can do that. You know, they have the ability to capture a picture and actually give you the picture if you want it for some reason. Surprise.
The other day I was at in Seattle we have these intersections that have all-way stop. So clearly, theoretically, if you don't hear anything, I suppose you could think to yourself, okay, I guess I could cross. But that is not such a great plan. Yeah, that too. So we don't have accessible pedestrian signals at part of the intersection, which is so ironic. We've got it at part and not at other part of the intersection. And it was raining, and I was late to something, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, what am I going to do? So I stood and listened to try to get a sense of the intersection, and I called Ira. I didn't have my smart glasses. I had my phone. And I pointed the camera of my phone, and I had my headphones on, So you can call using the smart glasses or your iPhone or your cell phone. It doesn't matter what cell phone either, by the way, or who your carrier is. And I told the person where I was and what I needed to do, and I said, you know, we may need to sort of hang out for a second so you can get a sense of this intersection, because it was like a five-way intersection. It was pretty complex, and we just stood there, but the person looked, and he said, okay, I see when the crossing sign is on, and when I see when it isn't, because I wanted him to really be certain. And he didn't say, okay, Peggy, it's safe to cross. He said, Peggy, and he told me that that's how it was going to go. He said, I can't tell you when it's safe to cross. I can tell you when I see the little pedestrian crossing hand, you know, white or up or whatever sighted people look for. And he told me that that's what he was seeing. And then I went. So my point is, they give you information. So they're not like co-opting or taking our power, if you will. I think people were concerned about that. Like they would interpret things
And it'd be a legal issue. You know.
Yeah. But the point is that they just give you the information, and then we use our knowledge, our brain, our intelligence, and make our decisions. So and then same with that aerial park thing, or going kayaking, or running in the Boston Marathon, or doing whatever a lot of people do with Ira. Experience the risk that comes with any of the adventures that we might be on. Ira, the agent, is simply giving us information that I personally have found absolutely invaluable.
Okay, Debbie, could you say some of your experience with Ira, and then we'll take a few questions.
Oh, well, my experiences are pretty similar to those of Frank and Peggy, but the other thing that I just wanted to say is that another thing that has sort of offset the cost a little bit is that periodically they have things you can do, different either challenges or favors for them or whatever, that can get you some free minutes. So I have found that I have always had enough minutes, and that has helped offset the cost. But things that I've enjoyed travel-wise, I think our dentist's office is at the Motel 6. Rick is laughing over there. because you get off. Whatever your ride is, whether you took the bus or an Uber or whatever you get there with, and all of them, it's like you walk through this sidewalks and up and down stairs and things, and they're just these doors, you know, but it just looks like kind of a Motel 6 or something to me. Anyway, they all look the same. It's terrible. And it used to be that you could get transportation very close to our dentist's office, but they've blocked that off now to make it more fun. And I've used Ira a couple of times now to get from the street all the way through that whole complex to their office. And they just looked up the complex on a map, and then we kind of started going. And as Peggy said, you can use the glasses or your phone depending on what is best. In fact, with Frank's wine bottles, probably the phone would have been that would have probably been a better choice.
She still had to take pictures.
It sometimes that's true, but that might have been a better choice. The other thing that, because the agents are paid and they are under confidentiality, the strictest confidentiality, it is okay to show them things that you shouldn't just show passerbys on the street. So the other day I wanted to purchase, WCB gave an auction gift at the ACB auction, and I was instructed to ship it directly to the person. Well, when I added her address to my Amazon account so I could ship it, Amazon got all excited, and they wanted me to re-enter all my credit card data because, hey, what if you aren't really you shipping it to this address in another state? Well, I think that was a good thing for them to do, but I didn't happen to have that credit card memorized at all. And my Braille display that I normally store it on was off getting service, so I didn't have access to it. So I had to run upstairs, get that card, bring it down, and show it to an IRA agent who in about 2 seconds gave me the front information and the back information, and I wrote it down, and I entered it, and the auction item has been received. So, but it might have taken me a couple days to find someone, and then you have to trust them, and you have to have them, and all of that. So I think that part of it for me that's been the big challenge has been figuring out when to incorporate Ira, because, you know, you get along, you figure out how to do things, and you make it all work. And I've been, like, to that dentist office a number of different times and muddled through it. So the first time after I had Ira, I still muddled through it. And as I was entering, I said, God dang, I should have used Ira. So, the last story I'll tell is about taking an Uber the other day and accidentally, because the guy didn't speak English and couldn't read a map, getting dropped off 8 blocks from my house.
Ooh.
On a street that I didn't even know exists. And I've been living there a long, long time. You'd think I'd have known. But this is a 2-block street. And this time I did think about Ira, because not only did I want to have some assistance, I have GPS apps on my phone, but I also wanted somebody to observe whether this guy was following me. So I got Ira on the line, and we did it. So it's just great. So Frank wants to take a few questions, and we have to wrap up.
Okay. We're running out of time, so they have to be quick questions. All right.
Oh, there we go. This is Julie Harlow. You guys kind of answered some of the questions, but you know when you're working with people, if they aren't familiar with blind people, they don't know how to guide right, say the right things, you know, until they learn kind of our verbiage and how we operate as a blind community. So are they pretty trained in that?
Very.
They get about a month of training.
Yeah, they know the drill. So that's, you can count on that.
Next question.
Coming.
I just wanted her to repeat that number again.
Okay. 617-515-8011, and you get 30 days free. So you can check it out. Totally.
Yeah. Next question.
Andy. Excuse me.
Microphone.
He has the mic.
Are you talking about Be My Eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who you're getting on to be my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I have no training.
But Be My Eyes is great, you guys.
It's good for some things, you know.
But, yeah. But
can
I?
I
was wondering when that was going to come.
Can I ask my question now?
But.
Yeah, it's true. Be My Eyes. Check, 1, 2, check. Okay, where's that question at?
Question.
Does this work internationally, like if I go through the Panama Canal or something like that?
Yes. You can use it internationally. They do not subscribe people internationally. But if you can provide your own connection, there's a person who's about to leave for Italy, and they've had several people do international trips. So you wouldn't want to probably live overseas and do it, but you could travel.
Question?
Yes. You guys are talking about somebody explaining this stuff to you visually and telling you what's going on or what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is this all like done through like a Bluetooth or goes through your phone service? And are you talking to this operator person at
Audio,
the time?
Yeah,
you're talking to him in real time, JR. You can hear him in your ears. You can put your headphones on, say, and you can hear them, and it's in real time. And you're actually, if you're using the MiFi, the mobile hotspot, you're not using your phone's data. So that's an important thing.
Okay, we're going to have to draw this to a conclusion because the next program item is someone I've invited to speak.
Yeah.
I can't very well cut into
her
time.
Everybody.
Thank you very much. Steve?
Yeah, you.
Are you gonna
you invited her. Go ahead and introduce her.
Oh, I'm not ready though. No, no, I think you're gonna do it.
All right.
I can do it, but I have to
Julie.
Get.
Julie.
Yeah.
Yay. All right. Is Shelly here?
Kelly.
I'm here. Kelly. Oh, my gosh. Wrong person. Hi, Kelly. Come on up. Oh, my gosh. Got flustered there. Kelly is here. I want to let you know that Frank is the one that recommended her to come speak to us. She and I have had a little communication. I am so excited about what she's going to share, just because in my own life I've been learning so much more about nutrition, how important it is, what we eat, what we don't eat, etc. So she is billed as a nutritionist, she is a trainer, she's a consultant, and the last thing she is here is a bod pod specialist. She's going to have to tell us what that is. That'll be fun to hear what that is. I've never heard of that one before. But anyway, please welcome her. She's going to let us know, fact or fiction, what's real, what isn't, what are wives' tales, what are not. What's the difference between natural, you know, when it says natural something, or organic? How do we read labels and know what we're really getting? Please make her feel welcome. Kelly Sherman, thank you.
All right. Thank you for inviting me to come. This is super exciting for me. I train Frank, so I know him very well. I didn't do a good job. We have fun, huh, Frank? I put him through. You know, he doesn't talk a lot when we're training, so I think I'm working him pretty hard. Okay. So as they were saying, I am a nutrition consultant. I have my own business, and I also am a consultant at a local gym. My business is called Provision Nutrition, and that allows me to train people that are to meet with people for nutrition that aren't members of the gym. That is also where I own my BOD Pod. The BOD Pod, if you're not familiar with that, is a piece of equipment that measures your body composition, and it measures your resting metabolic rate. So it will tell me how many calories your body is burning at rest without exercise or activity. And then I can use that number to help clients who want to gain weight or lose weight know how much food they should be eating, basically, is what it is. It is a piece of laboratory equipment, so it's pretty precise. It's about 98% accurate. So I do that. Today, I'm just touching real briefly on these nutrition topics. I could easily spend more hours than I'm sure you want to be here talking about those. My background is in holistic nutrition, so I am considering your emotional, mental, physical, spiritual health, as well as, you know, just the nutrition aspect of it. When a client comes to me, it's not just a check off list of you need to eat this and that and the other, but how are you sleeping? What kind of medications are you on? That type of stuff. Today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about nutrition labels. There's the labels that we see on the side of the package, right, that tells us how many calories and what the size of a serving is and all that. But there's also lots and lots of labels on food about it's organic, it's natural, it's cage-free, it's whatever. And how in the heck are we supposed to know what to eat, right? What do all those things mean? It can be really, really confusing. So I'm just going to talk real briefly about a couple of the most common ones, but there are a myriad of them, especially if you live on the west side. You probably will see a lot more labels than what we see here in the Tri-Cities. So, for example, your organic label, that's very popular right now. It's kind of a buzzword. Just because something is organic doesn't mean that it's healthy. So organic potato chips are still potato chips. Okay? There's still a better choice that we could make, but if you really want those potato chips, go ahead and go for those organic ones. Organic just means that it should be free of pesticide residues. Okay? It should be. Because if you've tried to grow something, you know that your little organic tomato plant that you're growing, if the wind blows and your neighbor is using pesticides, the wind's going to carry that pesticide over to your plant, right? So it's the same thing with farming, right? So they have certain guidelines that they have to adhere to and ways that they have to practice their farming, but in the end, you don't have any control over it, right? The wind's going to blow and do what it's going to do. So tests have been done. It was a consumer union report, tested some conventional and some organic produce and found that even the organic produce, about a quarter of it still had some sort of pesticide residue on it. So you can't completely avoid it. If you see anything labeled pesticide-free, that's not true. You can't really do that, okay? Yes. So the other way you can look for organic stuff is if there's not a label. Certain things, it's hard to put a label on. Mushrooms, it's hard to put a label on. Those are kind of bumpy and really soft, right? And peppers, same thing. It's hard to put a label on. But if you can look for the little barcode that's sometimes on them, conventional produce is usually like a four-digit number that starts with a 3 or 4. And organic produce will start with a number 9. And has 5 digits. So you can look for a 9, and then you know you're getting some organic produce. So it'll start with a 9. Do you know what little stickers I'm talking about on the packages? Yeah. Yes, yes, yeah. The ones that are really hard to find. Yes, those ones. Or the ones that maybe if you didn't get it off your apple, you might accidentally eat that, right? Yes. Another label that's common is the term natural. What the heck does that mean, right? Natural is kind of a bogus term in my mind because natural can be thrown onto something that's like all sugar because sugar is natural, right? So does that mean it's healthy for us? No. Everything begins natural. And I think even soda companies now are putting natural on their sodas. So again, you can have your natural soda and your organic potato chips, but you're still not really making the best food choices, right? Okay. No judgment, just saying. All right, so natural, though, just because it says it doesn't mean that it's the best choice, like I said. So in the meat industry, for example, natural means that meat is, quote, minimally processed and contains no artificial ingredients. So, according to the USDA, natural has nothing to do with how the food was, how it got to your table, how the animal was raised, or anything like that. Quite honestly, anything that doesn't come in a marinade is considered natural, right? Because the marinade has been added and would be something considered artificial to the product. So, if chicken was finished with a saline solution, it can't be labeled natural. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So it's a pretty broad term, natural. Yeah. Another popular label right now that's kind of a buzzword is grass-fed. And a lot of people are moving towards grass-fed meat. And that simply means that the cattle or the animal, usually sheep, ate grass their entire lives like they're supposed to. Farms that adhere to that, they grow animals that are grass-fed or raise animals that are grass-fed, they still have to adhere to those guidelines that the animal has to eat 99% grass. And they give that 1% because animals are going to do what they want to do. And if the grass is greener on the other side, but it's not really grass, it's a dandelion or something, and they eat it, that allows them a little bit of wiggle room, right? The dandelion's still fine for them to eat, but they can't give them a bunch of grain-fed soy processed stuff. So that's what that means. Yes. Grass-fed beef or lamb has a lot of advantages. It's higher in those fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin A and E. It has higher levels of omega-3s and conjugated linoleic acid. And they can help you actually burn fat at a higher rate if you're looking to lose fat. So it's really, really healthy for you, even if you're eating those fattier cuts of meat, eating something that's grass-fed, because you are essentially eating what the animal ate. So if your animal ate grass like it was supposed supposed to, you're getting the vitamins and minerals you're supposed to, even in the fat. But if your animal ate garbage, you're eating garbage. So that's not so great, right? All right. See, there's a whole other, we're opening a can of worms here. Another popular one is cage-free or free-range. Those are labels that are on chicken eggs. And eggs probably have the most amount of labels on the smallest amount of packaging. So really, the food marketers are trying to get you to buy their product, right? So they're going to put on whatever buzzword label there is. Not that if it says cage-free, it wasn't cage-free, you know, or something. But there's going to be a ton of labels trying to get you to buy their product, right? So, which is fine, that's their job, right? So, words like free range, free roaming, vegetarian fed, and cage free will appear on the little egg carton as well as the nutrient claims of vitamin E and omega 3. But if you're not familiar with chickens, let me tell you a couple things about chickens that you might not know. They like to lay their eggs on the floor instead of a nest. I've often heard my urban our farmer friends talk about this and how frustrating it is, and I think that they are convinced that the chickens do that just to drive them crazy, right? And to let them know who's boss. Chickens are flightless birds, and they're omnivores, and they eat small seeds and herbs, leaves, grubs, insects, even mice. They'll eat mice if they can catch them. So they like to do that scratching, right? Because they're scratching for, you know, for their dinner. They're looking for that. And that's kind of part of their healthy habit. And they don't like to be too far away from their food or water or nest, right? Which makes sense. You don't want to be too far from home. So I'm telling you this because chickens are often raised in what most might consider inhumane living conditions. So these big egg farms or chicken farms, it's not so pleasant to think about. But a lot of them will be caged for most of their lives, which limits the amount of sunlight and fresh bugs that they get, right? So in turn, that's going to affect the healthiness of the eggs that they're producing, right? So if they can't do what they're supposed to do, the egg might be a little less nutrient dense than if they're allowed to live like they're supposed to live. So this is where our cage-free label falls in. Cage-free means that the birds were not forced to live in a cage, which is great, until you realize that a bunch of birds that are forced to live in a barn isn't really that much healthier either, right? So they're not in the cage, but they're all forced to live in this barn, and then they can get sick, and that affects all of that too. So technically, those eggs are cage-free, but you can see where that label gets kind of blurry there, yes. So then we take the chickens out of the cage, and then like we open the barn door, and then we call them free range because those chickens aren't in a cage and they're able to go wherever they want to go. But remember the part where I told you that they don't like to be far from their nest? So they don't really, they have the ability to leave the barn, but they don't necessarily leave the barn because they want to be close to their food and water source. So that same thing with that free range egg. Really, my only suggestion for that is if you can find a local farmer that you know that you can get your eggs from, you can ask the farmer questions about how do you, you know, what are your practices? How do you raise your chickens? What kind of conditions do they live in? That sort of thing. That's probably your best guarantee. Now, don't go to the store and be like, oh my gosh, I can't eat any of these eggs, right? I don't want you to, you know, freak out about that. But that's just an example of how there's lots of different labels. Some of them are just talking about how the animal was raised. Some of them are talking about the nutrition value of the product itself. Other ones have to do with more ecological things and what might be important to you that way. So you kind of have to pick what your cause is and go that way. All right. You can look for words like no antibiotics, no cages, and vegetarian fed when checking out labels or when you're interviewing maybe a farmer or something. Sometimes you can also find a label that reads certified humane, which is supported by foundations like the ASPCA and verifies that farmers meet certain criteria for humane treatment of egg-laying hens. So there's that too. So you can see the difference. That has absolutely nothing to do with the nutritional value of the egg, right? But if you care about those poor little chickens, you might look for that. Now around here, I haven't seen that label. But like I said, if you're on the west side, you might be, you know, get a little bit more of that type of stuff. So there's a lot of different labels I could talk about. I could probably talk for a couple hours just on those labels. So I just picked some of the more popular ones. So I kind of want to transition to the food label, which is what we're the most familiar with, right? And those food labels are on the side or the back of your package and have how many calories are in a serving, what a serving size is, how much fat, how much protein, you know, all that kind of stuff. But remember our food marketing companies and how they want to sell that food. So when we turn the label over, we turn our package of organic potato chips over, and we see what is a serving of that. They want to sell their product. So sometimes those servings are kind of big, right? Which is kind of how we got into trouble as a nation, right? Is eating too much. So you might need to do a little bit more research on that as far as what specific serving sizes are. For example, most beans or grains, the serving size is 3/4 cup, which is about the size of half of a baseball. That's a serving. And when you think about when you go out to eat how much of that you get a lot more than a serving, right? Yeah. So if you're trying to lose weight or gain more muscle or just be healthier, a lot of times I will just have my clients just measure their portions. Even without giving them how many calories to eat, if you just start measuring your portions and you become aware, you might realize that you are satisfied with less, because we oftentimes mindlessly eat, right? So it's the end of the day. We just want to kind of hang out and chill. We got, you know, our music playing, or we're listening to a book, or, you know, reading or watching TV or whatnot. And we got our organic potato chips, and we're just mindlessly eating them, right? And your natural pop, yes. And you're just mindlessly eating that. Whereas if you measured out a portion, and let's say a portion is 2 ounces, you have that little portion, you might find that you're actually more satisfied with less. A lot of times clients will tell me, oh, I didn't realize I was overeating so much, right? Because we just mindlessly eat. So then there's a lot of buzz right now around the macronutrients. So the macronutrients are fat, carbohydrate, and protein. Do I eat carbs? Do I not eat carbs? Do I eat fat? Do I not eat fat? My doctor told me this is bad, but my, you know, this person told me this is good, and the internet told me not to eat bananas. What do? You know? Right? I find that a lot. So each one of them has a very important role in our bodies. And as a holistic nutritionist, I a lot of times guide people as to what makes your body feel good. Some people do really well on a higher carbohydrate diet, for example. But some people don't feel well. They don't digest them as well. So they might need a lower carbohydrate diet. So you kind of have to play around with what works for you. If you track not only what you're eating, but how you're feeling, if you eat something, and a couple hours later, you're not feeling so hot, what did you eat, right? And that's usually a good way to see if you're allergic to something or sensitive to something, what's going on with your body. Now, we tend to be slow learners, right? So my husband is lactose intolerant, so he can't have dairy, or he's not supposed to. Now, he didn't realize this until he was in college, so he would always eat ice cream and pizza, because that's what you eat when you're in college, and he was very slow to learn that lesson until he realized there was a little pill called Lactaid that you could take that would allow you to eat those and not hurt your stomach all the time, right? Now, he's a little bit older than when we were in college, and he's had to give it up altogether, but... Yeah, well, I don't know. I just kind of try to keep it out of the house a little bit for less temptation. So carbohydrates, for example, are fuel for our brain. That is the preferred energy source. And you will notice if you start to get kind of hangry, you know where you're hungry and angry, you're hangry. As soon as you have something that has a little bit of carbohydrate in it, even if it's a piece of candy, because sugar is a carbohydrate, it's like an automatic pick-me-up, right? You feel a little bit better, right? So that carbohydrate helps your brain to function like it's supposed to. So we can't completely cut all those carbohydrates out because we need them, right? So carbohydrates aren't bad, but and I don't believe that there's any bad food, right? Everything in moderation. Life is meant to be lived, right? And if grandma makes a really good pecan pie for Christmas, eat the pecan pie for Christmas because you don't want to offend grandma, right? And that's probably the only time you're going to get it. So, you know, eat it then. So better carbohydrate choices might be your starchy vegetables like pumpkin or winter squash that are in season right now, sweet potatoes, bananas, plantains, those types of things. They're all carbohydrate sources, but they are going to have less of an impact on your blood sugar. So when we eat too many carbohydrates, when I eat a piece of cake, my blood sugar spikes really, really high, and I feel awesome. I feel great, right? But then a couple hours later, once that energy's worn out, I drop. And then that's when I get into that cycle at 2 p.m. where I am dragging and how much longer till I get to go home, right? So you can make better carbohydrate choices. Now, that's not to say that you can't have breads and pastas and cookies and cake, but if you limit those, oftentimes it's not as much the carbohydrate that's in them as the sugar that is with it that is causing us trouble. All right, and definitely white flours, if you can try to stay away from those, even choosing a brown flour or an alternative flour. Cassava root is a really good flour to kind of play around with. It's really fine, like a pastry flour. Cassava, it's actually like, you know, the yucca plants that grow? It's the root of that, and they use it quite frequently, actually, in South America in their cooking. But it's, yeah, it's pretty good. Arrowroot starch, you can use that. You can't often sub them one for one, but they are an alternative if you're kind of missing that bread carby thing in your mouth, right? So next we have protein. Protein is an important macronutrient for building muscle and preserving your muscle. So the bad news is as we get older, we naturally lose muscle mass, and that stinks. So the things we can do to counteract that, besides exercising and kind of lifting some weights to stimulate that muscle, is eating protein. And protein, actually, as we age, we need a little bit more than we did when we were younger. When we consume enough protein, it helps to slow down or halt the natural muscle loss that happens as we age. It's also super important for the health of your cells. So the amino acids in protein help with the repair of your cells. It's going on all the time and you don't even know it, right? Then if you're sick and your body needs to heal, a lot of times if you had surgery and you're in recovery, your doctor might prescribe that you eat more protein. And that protein, because it's the building blocks and helps build the cells and the skin and the tissues and all that, the added protein will help with that. Additionally, they have antibodies in them that can help boost your immunity and prevent viral infections. So, yay, we don't want to get sick, right? So if we eat a little bit more protein, that can help give us a little immunity boost. Fats are the last macronutrient, and those are kind of a touchy subject, right? Because they taste good, but for like the last 60 years, we've been told not to eat them. So unfortunately, for, I guess, the government, all these studies are coming out now that's actually showing that fat is quite good for you. If you've lived through the past couple of decades, you may remember eating some sort of low-fat something that probably tastes a little bit like cardboard, right? Yeah. So same thing as my organic potato chips, low-fat cookies are still a cookie, and they don't taste good, right? Yeah, they're not good. So when you take the fat out of the food, it doesn't taste good, so the manufacturer has to put something in it so that you'll want to buy it more than one time. So they're going to add in either more carbohydrates or they're going to add in some kind of chemical additive that's probably not good for your body, right? And I can guarantee you over the past 60 years, they've probably found lots of chemicals that they're like, hey, just kidding, that's not really good for us. And then they take that out again. So if given the option, I always will tell people to choose the full fat over the low fat. Right? So even with yogurt, if you can find full-fat yogurt, eat that full-fat yogurt over the low-fat yogurt. It's going to taste better. It's going to stay with you longer, and you will find that you don't have to eat as much of it. You'll be satiated with less of it. So you just account for the calories and move on, but it tastes a lot better. Same with butter. Once you've had full-fat, really good butter, the fake stuff, yeah, you won't go back. So, you know, you preserve that butter and save it for special occasions, right? So, you do not have to avoid fat to lose fat. What? That's crazy. So, for the last probably 60 years, we've been told that if I eat fat, I'm going to get fat, and that's not the case at all. Fats actually help with a lot of different processes in your body. They help regulate your hormones. They can help keep your metabolism healthy, and they help actually to reduce cravings. What? That's awesome. Yeah. There are lots and lots of recipes online for things called fat bombs. And they're just little treats that you can make. They're sweet ones, they're savory ones, and they're always some combination of fat. I have a ravenous teenager. I have two ravenous teenagers. And I find that those, now you're really only supposed to eat like one a day to kind of get you from, you know, your 2 o'clock to dinner time. He will pop them like they're candy, but he needs the calories. Right. And so at least now I know he's getting healthy fats, and he prefers one that I make that's chocolate and peanut butter and coconut oil, and we stick them in the freezer, and he loves those. So they're really easy to make, really easy to make. So that's just been a real quick flyby of nutrition, real kind of broad. I would love to take any questions. If you have any questions for me, it can relate to what I spoke about or something else. I also have a website that you can contact me through if you have any nutrition questions. I love, love, love to chat with people about nutrition. So,
Hello? It's not on? Hello?
I can hear you.
There it is. Hi.
Hi.
Very interesting. I'm curious. You called the last things you were talking about the fat bombs.
Yeah.
Is there a website that you could recommend that would give us some good recipes?
Those specifically.
Like that, or other maybe treat like things.
Those are the best part, right? I kind of jump around from websites. I prefer honestly to look for recipes that are vegan or paleo. That's really popular right now. Even if you don't subscribe to eating in that manner, they're going to be free of added chemicals and be more true to that, finding really healthy fats for you.
Okay. And I have one other question.
Yes.
Sugar.
Yeah.
So, my husband, I'm really proud of him. Over the last year, he's lost 93 pounds.
Wow, that's awesome.
He's really been watching a lot of, actually watching his carbs as well as fat as well as sugar.
Yeah.
And also sodium. He's cut down a lot on his salt intake. And he's gone from taking insulin to no insulin anymore.
Awesome.
But with that said, sugar is one of, like, we went to a natural food store.
Yeah.
And I was looking for, like, substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember the name of the sugar thing that they gave us that's like a brown sugar, but it's not.
Yeah.
Dextrose.
Oh, okay.
Dextrose.
Mm-hmm.
And then people said, well, but that's a chemical. So what are some options that aren't sugar that might give us some sweet, that doesn't have the chemical or side effect stuff as some of the things that you find in that substitutes.
Right. So I prefer to stay away from table sugar, and I actually usually guide clients more towards natural sugars, which can be honey. Coconut sugar is very popular right now. It has a caramely flavor like brown sugar does, and it will not make your blood sugar spike. So it's lower on that glycemic index. Molasses is a good sweetener. Stevia you can use. It comes in a powdered form or a drop form. But anytime you can try to get away from those sweeteners, that's even better, right? But sometimes you're really craving that sweetness. For me personally, using spices like cinnamon, that kind of tricks your brain into thinking that it's something sweet. And one of my favorite teas is made by Celestial Seasonings, and it's called Bengal Spice. It's like Christmas in a cup. It's really good. So that's one that if I really just can't kick a sweet craving, I'll drink that. Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead. Yes. This is Josette here. I have a question. I know that this is a little off the subject, but what do you think about your opinion on modified engineered you know, foods that are coming out. They're doing that with apples. They're doing that with fish, everything. I was wondering what your opinion is. I have a problem with it myself.
Yes, there's lots of people both ways on that. I can see both sides of it. I honestly prefer to get my food as natural as possible. So I try to avoid genetically modified foods as much as possible. But when it comes down to it, your budget and kind of your own personal values dictate the types of foods that you eat. Foods that are non-GMO tend to be a little more pricey, so you have to kind of balance. It's the same with eating organic. You should eat organic when you can, but it's expensive. I have a family of five, so I have to pick and choose what I buy organically.
Yes. Question. Yeah.
Here,
oh. I don't need this release. I talk loud.
Okay, this is Cheryl Stone. I just wondered, where do you get the coconut flour? I have never seen such
coconut
thing.
Flour, coconut sugar.
Coconut
you should
sugar.
You either
get that
either
at the
one.
Health food store?
Quite honestly, I order a lot of my stuff online. But so Amazon, Thrive Market, any of those online. I have locally, Fred Meyer here has like in Richland has updated and their health food section is amazing and I'm totally geeking out on it. So, they have a lot more of those offerings too, but, yeah, Yolks or, Whole Foods, like those types of places will have that. Yes, it's tasty.
So, I'm doing a plan from a program, mm-hmm. and one of my things is I have to look for sugar as well.
Uh-huh.
I avoid sugar at all costs mm-hmm. if I can. So one of the things that I end up having to do is read the fine print
yep.
on what's the ingredient too.
Yep.
As a visually impaired, that's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So any suggestions on how to make that easier?
Well, you know this, what is that thing that you guys were just talking about? Yes, that sounds amazing, like for that food label stuff. Anything in the food label that ends with OSE is going to be a sugar. So anything that ends with O-S-E is going to be a sugar of some sort. Say it again. Yeah, yes, yep, C-O-L, anything that ends in that's going to be a sugar alcohol. And that's where it gets tricky because a lot of times they'll say it's sugar-free, but that just means that it has a sugar alcohol in it or something else. And that goes back to our natural food label. MSG and aspartame, I would avoid those at all costs, and those are considered natural seasonings. So a lot of times, unfortunately, on food labels, if we are reading the ingredients and it says natural seasonings, what the heck does that mean? We don't even know. Yeah, so that's kind of a stinky part. Making your food at home as much as possible helps you to kind of avoid that, and you can control how much sugar is in your food that way as well. Yes.
Great, thank you.
Oh, I'm done.
Yay.
But you can, do you guys want my website? Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Okay. My website is www.provision.net. And that's my website. And I would love, Frank was telling me that some websites aren't so great for visually impaired. So please give me feedback so that we can improve that. That would be awesome. But you can email me through that website. Does that sound good?
That was great. Thank you so much, Kelly. All right, it is time for break. I want to be sure not to cut into that. And we will reconvene at 3:00, and we will promptly have a door prize. So be on time.